Gallagher leaves for Evans. Evans drifts to the corner. Center, they score! Gallagher, Zadorov had no stick. And it's 5-4 Boston now. Right of the net, here's Kastelic. Center deflected, they score! Mark Kastelic's got two tonight. Zacha digs down for the draw. Shot fired, blocker save Jeremy Swayman. And that'll do it. The fourth line sparkled for the Bruins tonight. And Jeremy Swayman, the Bulldog, in his first start of the season, picks up the victory.
Is that what we're calling him?
The Bulldog!
I didn't... Yeah, you don't call him that? You guys don't call him that?
Oh, is that what Celine?
Yeah, it's when Celine Dion
when she was in the dressing room, that's what she called
Bulldog.
Him? Oh, so is that where that came from?
That's kind of a deep cut.
Well, remember,
he was a Maine black bear, right? He's from Alaska.
Yep, he was training at BU.
Yeah, they're terriers.
Yeah, so
not bulldogs.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Georgia Bulldog.
Yep.
Yeah.
So she called him the Bulldog? I do remember when she was in the dressing room and read the starting lineup.
Yeah, she called him a Bulldog.
I guess he's bringing it back.
Yeah. Still sounds odd.
Last but not least, Ingle. You better bite, you better mean it. Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's why he goes with it.
I didn't know that's what we were calling him, Judd. I didn't know.
I don't know if that one's going to stick necessarily, but.
Well,
he's a bulldog in the negotiations. It's Jeremy Swayman.
Maybe that's what it is. How'd you think the Bulldog did last night there?
Knocking off some rust, I think, is what it comes down to. And I don't think we're shocked by that. That's why it was a good opponent to do it against. Montreal's not very good. They came back in it because the Bruins let them back into it in the third period. But that was a team that you could give up some goals early, and then you could still pile up a bunch of goals and get the win. You know, because if Swayman opened up against Florida, for example, you might have a similar result to Corposalo, right? But I think
you might.
It might take him a couple of games to kind of knock the rust off, but I'm not shocked by that at all. Like, okay. I didn't expect him to go out there and have a shutout.
So I didn't think Swayman looked great last night. It was two quick goals in the first period. It was four overall. You know, first goal is a power play goal, whatever. But it was like two on the first six shots, two in the first eight shots, something like that. And I'm not like terrified of that. I'm not overly fearful of that or concerned about that. And not to let him off the hook or to let Corposalo off the hook. It is 10 goals in the first two games, Keith. 10 goals against in the first two games. And as you said, well, at least with Florida, that is a good opponent, although they got shut down by you-know-who last night.
Big Linus.
We'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, Florida's at least...
best team in the league.
The defending cup champion. They're a team that you look at their roster and you go, okay, I get it. Like, they can pump up the goals. They did it last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. They did it against the Bruins 2 years ago in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Four goals against Montreal with your best goalie out there and 10 goals allowed in the first two games. How concerning is that?
Yeah, I think the defense needs to get their act together mainly, right? Because the first game is Corposalo, and I know Montgomery put it more on all the guys in front of him instead of him. But the truth is that Corposalo, when the games matter the most, won't even be out there, right? Like, on playoff time, there's not a decision. It's not like, oh, who's the hot goalie? Who's the right goalie? Like, what are you going to do? Is he going to alternate them? Like, no, it's Swayman's team. Like, that contract, trading away Ullmark, and then the contract that he got means it's Swayman's team. So I think if he knocks the rust off a little bit, and then I think you need the defense to obviously play a little bit better. They might kind of go back to form a little bit. So I'm not freaking out early on. You played a great team. I'm really looking forward to Monday's game to see how they respond and what they look like against Florida.
So I'm just going to ask you, who do you think starts the next two games? Do they start Corposalo on the 12th and give Swayman Florida on the matinee on Monday?
That's what I hope for. I don't, especially if Montgomery is telling the truth about Corposalo was good, then you might as well trot him out there and alternate for a little bit,
well,
right?
Don't let him play against Florida again. I think we saw Florida. That. So you give Corposalo the game against the Kings, and then Swayman gets the game against Florida.
That's what
Monday.
I would think, because I don't think, I mean, at some point, Swayman will start, what, four in a row, five in a row? You don't have to start him back-to-back, so a lot of teams around the league don't do that.
I just looked this up. You don't have a back-to-back until November 2nd and 3rd at Philly, home against Seattle.
Yeah.
So, like, but in the meantime, you should be able to manage it, and if you wanted to give him a couple of starts in a row, you can, because there are days off.
Because if it's 55 games to whatever, 27 games, you know, how many in a row will he get? Is it just two, one, or is it like start four, and then you give Corpus. They have a lot of different ways they can do it.
If you're playing three games in a week, I mean, Swayman could play all three of them. You know, so I do think, not to wiggle out of the question, but I think that is indicative of it. Like, if they have off days built in, I could see Swayman playing four, five, six games in a row if they have the off days built in.
Yeah. But early on, because he didn't have preseason and all that stuff, then I feel like he probably doesn't start the third game. And then get him in there against Florida.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
So all I would say is that I can wrap my head around Swayman looking rusty and not playing his best. It's not like he faced a ton of shots in the game last night, especially early, and he was giving up goals. So while I'll acknowledge that, I also don't think he looked great. And the bigger issue might be the play in front. Again, in their own end, 10 goals allowed in the first two games.
Terrible. Carlo has been terrible.
Lorai's already a healthy scratch. Yeah. Lorai got just crushed the first game against Florida. He's a healthy scratch already, right? Mm-hmm. There was no injury, right? He was out of the lineup, scratch.
He's one of the healthy ones, yep.
Okay, so like, Carlo's been bad. Lorai's already out of the lineup. You know, Zadorov picked up an assist last night on the Lindholm goal. Lindholm has, what, 4 points in two games? So he's worth his contract, it seems, already.
I like Lindholm. And Lindholm's the biggest swing guy I think they have. Like I was saying before the season started, because you're paying him a lot of money. He's the fourth highest paid guy on the team. So he needs to be good. So if he isn't, or if he just has like kind of an average season, then like where are you going to get the rest of your scoring from? But if he's good, like, okay, like then there might really be something there.
Well, and the goal last night wasn't like a high degree of difficulty goal. I mean, no. It was more of like a stick your nose in there, deflected shot sort of thing off a blast from Zadorov. He won 6 out of 13 faceoffs, so you know that's something to monitor with him when you're used to Bergeron being here forever and winning a bunch of faceoffs. So that's something to keep an eye on. But how concerned are you about that, their back end, where, again, Lorai's already a healthy scratch. Carlo's been bad. McAvoy scored in a couple of games, but is he worth his contract?
They got to find that right combo. Oh, speaking of McAvoy.
Yeah.
So, goal last night, he's got 3 points in two games. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that if he's going to really be a top three.
Yeah, you got to do both. You can't just be a guy who, keeps goals out of the net. Right. You have to contribute offensively as well and be at least, you know, like a 40-point guy.
Well, more. And so his career high is 56 points. That was back in 22. And just looking at it, you know, you have some crazy numbers of guys that were like 100 points.
Yeah, Eric Karlsson a couple years ago, and he was a minus on the year.
So that's a weird one. That's so overboard going with points. But last year, Quinn Hughes had 92 points. It was a plus 38, and he won it for Vancouver. But a lot of times looking at it, like, you've had a spike over recent years, but usually in the 60s. I think that if he has...
Oh, you're talking to win the Norris.
Well, but even to being like a top three, not just get a vote.
I feel like
two.
He's been in the top five a couple of different times. I thought those were like, you said one was 56. That's higher than I remembered. I thought he was in there for like a 40-point year one time. I feel like
I'm looking it up.
You need to be at least a half a point a game, right? 40 points out of 82, you're about a half point a game. You got to at least be doing that.
But that's what
I'm saying.
So if he can take what he's done in the past and add 10 points to it, like a new career high, like double-digit goals and then 50 assists somewhere in there.
Oh, yeah.
Then I think he gets a little bit more of the recognition kind of league-wide, but also a guy that you can kind of rely on. Then you don't need three lines that are scoring if you're getting a little bit more, you know, jump from the defense.
And so that is closer to 2 and 3 years ago. He was 46 and 45 assists those 2 years. He was 47 points last year, which is higher than I remembered. So, yeah, maybe the line is higher than that. Maybe he's got to be more like in that 50, 55-point window.
Yeah.
So how concerned are you about the Bruins in their back end, where, again, 10 goals allowed in two games? What do you think of Swayman? Bruins do get a win over the Habs, their bitter rival there.
That's right.
And they get another crack at the Panthers on Monday. Meanwhile, and we were getting texts about this early in the show, my guy Linus Ullmark.
How did Linus do?
Who I can't stand.
Who did he play
and
last night?
I made the comment in the offseason when Ullmark went to Ottawa and Korpisalo came back. I said, Ullmark's going to be terrible there. Every goalie's going to be terrible there. They don't suppress shots. They give up goals. It's bad structure. Korpisalo will have better numbers than Ullmark this year. I said that the second the trade went down.
Right.
And I've reiterated it here.
How do you do?
Against the same Florida Panthers team.
Oh, so apples to apples.
Apples to apples. Korpisalo gave up 6 goals and had like 29 saves, I think it was.
Yeah.
29 saves.
Okay.
Ullmark, 30 saves.
Oh, so how many goals, though?
One
goal. And they beat the Panthers 3-1.
It's all about having the mind of a goldfish.
He did. That's a tired Panthers team. On the road.
Sure. Out-dueled Sergei Bobrovsky.
Not a well-rested team at home.
Stared down across the ice from Sergei Bobrovsky. Cup winner, Vezina winner, and out-dueled him.
Officer, moonlighting as an officer on the side, Officer Bobrovsky.
He was off the force last night because Linus stepped in and said, hey, guys, I'm worth every penny. on that new contract you just gave me. $8.25 million might look like a steal the way Linus Ullmark played last night.
I should find the comment. I read this earlier today.
968 save percentage?
That's
going to be tough to track down.
It's high. Look, it's only one game. Let's not overreact to one game.
That's
Keith.
The cup champion.
I notoriously never overreact to anything. Let's not overreact to one game, please.
Couldn't get anything by him.
Swayman did have comments on some of these new goalie contracts.
Oh, he's like, I screwed myself.
Here it is. No, he seemed very happy.
The
Seattle goalie got 5 years, $25 million, and then Ullmark got the same AAV, 8.25, with a full no-movement clause. So, like,
he's stuck there.
The kids...
On his own doing.
The kids will be in college in Ottawa, for God's sakes. He said, it's incredible. It's a goalie union, is what he said.
Goalie union?
Does he literally mean a union? Oh, you have this? Oh, Nick has this. Okay, I was just going to read it. Yeah, I didn't realize Nick had it. Let's hear it.
It's incredible. It's a goalie union. We all know how hard it is to win games in this league and see guys get rewarded. That way, it's just awesome to see. And, both those guys work extremely hard and couldn't be happy for them and their teams.
Okay, so he's happy for his guy, Linus, there.
Yeah. Goalie union, NHLPA is like, no, it's not a union. You can't say that. Like, you can have a union within the Players Association.
No.
But, yeah, it's like, what are they called? Like the tight end club or whatever? What's the tight end thing?
Is it tight end U?
Tight end U.
Is that right?
They do some sort of tight end group.
Yeah, they have like a day in the offseason where they all go. Yeah, we asked Hunter Henry about it the other week.
So all the goalies, the weirdos, if you will, of the NHL, they all kind of stick together, you know? And so, I mean, the money is going up on those guys, but he got his security. He got his money, 8.25 for the next 8 years. And both guys, even though I know there was like the goalie hug and those guys are the best buds in the world, both guys are number one goalies now. They don't have to play every other night. Like, they can actually get some momentum going, play 3-4 days in a week, play 55 games in a season, and I think they both like that.
This is a good one. The goalie union is like the running back union that caved after 1 year.
Oh, that's right. We want more money! We're not giving it to you. Okay!
I thought running backs started to get paid after that, didn't they? There was that one offseason where they didn't, and I thought guys started to get paid after that, no?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, depending on how you view it. Like, Derrick Henry and some of these, but like, look at what like Austin Eckler signed for. Like, I don't, and they're all getting like 1 or 2 years. Yeah. I don't think they really cashed in.
There's also this text, 37937. Jones, you're the most anti-Bruin on the rate. I'm very pro-Corpusello. That's not anti-Bruin
at all. I was going to say, it's the oddest pro-Bruin thing to be.
He says, you're the most anti-Bruin on the radio. No. You always have been.
No. Well.
Last I checked, the playoffs start in the spring, you asshat.
Oh, okay.
Your hockey knowledge is that of a 6-year-old Rangers.
So
fan.
Let's put
fair.
A pin in
fair,
it.
Fair, 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 fair.
Let's put a pin in it. We'll talk about the Bruins against the playoffs.
But like, so that's fine. I don't think anybody's overreacting. We're just pointing out they've been poor in front of both goalies now.
Yeah.
And Swayman, I think we said, has time to knock the rust off. But I would just also say, out the other end of my mouth, he also didn't look good last night. That's all.
Both things can be true.
Can't they both be?
Both things can be true.
Swayman, we give him the acknowledgement he didn't have an offseason, his own doing, by the way.
Right.
But he didn't have an offseason, so he's going to knock some rust off. He didn't look like himself, and the Bruins have allowed 10 goals in 2 games. Like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, these seem to be facts.
That makes me anti-Bruins, I guess.
At this point.
Which I've been known to be.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that level of commentary isn't the issue for it.
Also, that fourth line, everybody loves a good fourth line. Bruins fans love a fourth line. Those guys are kind of that little hop in the step.
Bruins won the Ullmark trade. Kastelik scored twice.
Okay, well,
good Lord.
If you told me that guy Kastelik was going to score 2 goals all year, I probably would have said, I don't think so.
What was the anytime goal for Kastelik last
two
night?
Two of them.
The 2 goals would have been off the charts. I mean, they probably didn't even have that available.
And anytime for Kastelik plus 5-something.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I would imagine. I don't know.
Well, it came.
I only bet anytime goals in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's the only time I do that. So I didn't check last night. I wasn't looking at it. I was too busy getting my my Thursday night lines.
No, but those guys were good.
No, and you get frustration with McAvoy too. I effing hate McAvoy right now. He's driving me nuts. Like there is point production, but again, he's the face of that back end that has not played well.
Right.
And you even hear it from Montgomery. I mean, Montgomery has not thrown either goalie under the bus to this point. He said Corpusalo played well the other day, which I don't agree with. He didn't put it on Swayman last night, which I would have thought would be interesting if they start piling on Swayman in particular, because you heard a little bit of that with Sweeney during the negotiations. You know that Neely's pissed about it. So if Montgomery starts saying, yeah, well, some of that, that's a bad goal, or we should have had that one, or whatever with Swayman.
Jeremy Swayman was good. He made the saves that he could. Again, there's backdoor tap-ins that because we're not, our coverage isn't solid yet.
A lot of backdoor tap-ins.
Yeah, do not duck go that.
You notice that?
But
last two games,
so they've gone out of their way. He's gone out of his way to defend the goalies, which means he's not happy with the play in front of those guys, including McAvoy.
Right, and I think he might if he's being honest, be like the goalies both could have been better, but the bigger issue for him is like those opportunities that were even there, and that needs to get cleaned up. Like, if this is going to be a good overall defensive team, right, if the goals allowed are going to be down, like those guys have to be significantly better. You know, Nick might be on it. Carlo is a part of that. I also thought Hampus, there was a time when Hampus Lindholm, I thought, was really good. This was going back a couple years ago.
Yeah,
like, this guy's a stud.
He got like top 10
for the contract.
He got like top 10 Norris votes, didn't he?
It was, he might have.
I thought a couple of years ago he got Norris vote, like down ballot Norris votes. I thought.
And then, that thing kind of sank like a stone, which I also feel like is why there's probably more pressure, and deservedly so, on McAvoy. McAvoy is the guy that is got the big contract. He is the guy that has, you know, hopes of being a easy top 10 defenseman in the league, maybe top 5 defenseman. But at one point, all the guys around him I thought were a little bit better, and now I'm like, eh. Like, Lindholm and Carlo both don't really excite me. And then TBD on Zadorov. He's a hoss, so I'm glad they got like some big dudes back there. But I don't know, I'd rather see Mason Lowry, to be honest.
No, same. I was surprised. I mean, he was awful against Florida, so I got it, but I was still surprised they gave him that quick of a hook and had him as a healthy scratch last night, which, again, speaks to their issues on the back end. If Montgomery's not happy with the defense, he's kind of the one in charge of it.
Right.
He's a lame duck head coach right now. Where do you think the Bruins are at with Montgomery long term? Is this a maker, like a complete make or break season for him, not just making the playoffs, but advancing in the playoffs?
Yeah, because his start has been wild, right? You have the greatest regular season ever, then you're out in the first round. And you're like, whoa. And then you're thinking, all right, Krejci and Bergeron are gone, so you're not going to be as good. And they were still a really good regular season team, and you went around. I feel like if he didn't win around last year, he's probably not the coach this year. I think that round last year kind of saved him.
I agree. And if they lost to Toronto of all teams, he would have been
on top of it. Toronto. Yeah. And a team that you kind of manipulated to get that matchup too. Like the way they played at the end of the year, like they wanted that matchup, 100%. They got it. And so that could have blown up in his face, but they didn't. And now this year, yeah, I don't know. Like, is there a time that they feel like is right? Because this isn't about, you know, hey, we're offering him $6 million and he wants 10. Like, this isn't a Swayman thing. It's more like, do the Bruins want him? Do they feel like he's the right guy? I do think the players like him. And you're like, well, that shouldn't matter. Well, it mattered with the last guy, right?
Yeah, so, not liking him got him canned, exactly.
So
yeah.
I feel like the players, like that relationship's pretty good, but are you getting the most out of the team? So is there a point in season where you feel like he is? Because aren't all the questions about the playoffs? But then do you wait all the way until the end and then offer him a deal? Like, I feel like it's a tough spot, but the fact that you started the season without a deal, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be shocked if they go through the season without one.
No, me either. And if you're here and you don't have one yet, I would be surprised if he got one. And yeah, I do think it's a make or break year. I think he's lucky. They beat Toronto last year. He'd be out of a job. By the way, Hampus Lindholm, not Elias.
The Hamper.
No down ballot Norris vote, so I don't know where I got that from.
Yeah, yeah.
He led the NHL in plus minus 2 years ago.
Maybe that's what it was.
And he was an all-star. And so maybe
2 years ago that's what it was.
But mid-year ballot. Yeah. And yeah, they had an incredible year. All of his numbers spiked that year. But no, he's fallen off.
Yeah.
And to the point where, you know, you question the urgency in signing that contract.